You want to be a successful entrepreneur? Get complete business solutions with UnifiBiz to maximize profits, exclusively for BFM listeners. Stand a chance to win prizes worth 2,700 ringgit by subscribing or upgrading to UnifiBiz Pro or Advance and completing a slogan. Go to bfm.my/tm today. Contest ends 22nd May. Terms and conditions apply. TM, business made easier.
Good morning, you're listening to A La Carte Tuesday on Open for Business. I'm Angeline Tay. Yummylicious started 4 years ago as a food delivery service specializing in Asian burgers, and it was set up as an act of desperation. After the business took off, they began consulting other F&B owners and now co-owned the coffee shop and rebranded it into the coffee shop by Yummylicious. Jimmy Lee and Adeline Sarim are in the studios with us.
My name is Jimmy Lee here from Yummylicious. Yummylicious has been around for 5 years.
Hi, I'm Adeline Sarim, and I am the owner of Yummylicious and co-owner of the coffee shop.
And I know there is a very interesting story behind Yummylicious that led you to now co-owning the coffee shop, which initially you guys were just consultant for the coffee shop, right? But let's track back to the genesis of Yummylicious. What is the concept and why is Yummylicious an act of desperation?
Yummylicious was initially an act of desperation because we lost a lot of money in 2007, all right? A business deal didn't turn out the way that we intended it to be, and within overnight, we were saddled with a lot of debts, with a lot of problems, and we owe people a lot of money and everything like that. So we were surviving with the barest of minimum, and we were talking about probably like 2 ringgit per day, stuff like that. So there were a lot of moments whereby we felt that we should just give up, but we chose not to. So we struggled on. In 2011, we decided to, okay, we don't have anything to lose. Why not we just start a food business? Because Adeline can cook. So she said, okay, why not we just do a food business? And at that time, I did tell her, you know, we don't even have capital for a restaurant. How are we going to do this? Not even for a stall, you see? She suggested, let's do it online, you know. There's Facebook, there's Twitter, you know, and just build a business from there.
It's true, because right now it's like you can start on a business anywhere, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't really need to have a place where you want to set up, like your own shop, whatever. Right now you can even do business directly inside your bedroom if you really have that focus to do it. But of course, since we live in such a social media world, you know, that makes it more accessible for us to do.
But like, why start a business, right? I guess the question is, because you start a business, which means you need a capital to start a business. Mm-hmm. And your apparently your parents actually advised you to do something else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true.
So,
I mean, why business is basically, you already have that determination or that form of clarity that you want something in life that you can like hold on to, you know. You develop an idea and you decide, okay, this is something that can actually work. People don't really get the big picture. I mean, if you go out there and you work for somebody, you always be, it's a good thing. I mean, this is not for everyone, right? But if you have that sense of focus, what you want to do, that's the way to go.
You know? And how did you know Yummylicious was going to work?
We didn't. Because in business, it's, whether you like it or not, it's a game of chance, you know. It's just that focus and that determination and that belief that you believe in your product or you believe in your service, you know, that's what creates the business at the end of the day. And that message get across to people, yeah.
And so Yummylicious was set up in year 2011.
Yep.
And what was the first sign that you had that you know, okay, this is actually working out?
I think the most clearest point is where Jamie Oliver tweeted us for a recipe for one of our burgers.
Wow.
Yeah, chili crab burger. He tweeted to us and I was scrolling down my timeline and I was like excited when I saw it. I was like, is this really the Jamie Oliver or Jamie Oliver like fan or something like that? But it was actually Jamie Oliver.
Well, how did you know it was him?
There's a blue tick.
Okay.
Yeah, on Twitter, you see that blue tick that it's verified account.
Okay.
So you know it's him. So he was like, it was a simple tweet. He said, hey, bro, your burger looks amazing. You know, can I get the recipe for it? Simple.
Has he tried
No, of course, obviously. He just saw pictures.
Right. What's the recipe for it? But I would love to meet up with him.
So after that, then we just told him that we can't share the recipe because we're running a business and everything like that. And then he tweeted back and he said that burger looks amazing. Keep up the good work. You know, you'll get there eventually. And then he just signed off the tweet with J-O-X.
So that was your first sign. That was like how long after you started Yummalicious?
I can't remember. Like almost a year?
Yeah. After you.
And after that, then Gordon Ramsay started following us. Yeah. Then
So your Twitter account is a Yummalicious account. It's not your personal account.
No, no, no.
So the account dedicates in putting up pictures of burgers then, I guess.
Food.
Yeah. Basically, we use the Twitter account to actually generate our customers and to communicate with the customers. Yeah.
Yeah. But you got to understand, when we started the business, we have no idea how Facebook works or Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even know what it was all about.
We didn't really know much about it. We just knew that everybody was communicating with it.
And it's free.
Yeah, and it was free.
What did you learn out of that experience by using social media?
It's a powerful tool. Yeah. It's a simple, powerful tool whereby you can reach out to a lot of people.
Yeah.
A good example is from Yummalicious is the fact that, okay, when a customer loves a burger, I mean, of course, they'll capture a picture and everything like that on Twitter or Facebook. And when that picture goes live, you know, instantly I'll have like possibly like 5 to 10 new customers, and from there it grows into a community. So the one thing I've learned from Yummalicious is that business is all about building communities. Actually, it's not about, okay, maybe profits is important, I don't deny that, is a fundamental reason why we do business. But actually building communities is even more important. Actually,
and Yummalicious has no physical outlet.
No, currently not yet. Right now, we are setting up posts in the coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that would be the place to go to if you don't want to wait for your burgers. It will be at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us about the journey into the coffee shop then.
Basically, somewhere mid last year, a good friend of mine asked me to just check out the coffee shop because it's one of his business. So we did, and we gave some comments and everything like that and how to make the business even better. So eventually the discussion went to the point that we were engaged as consultants for a period of 3 months to basically to restructure the business, to make it better, get the more customers, get the more people in. So what we did as consultant was we went in, we studied the business model and everything like that, and we proposed a separate business plan where it will work for that location, for that place, and what the budget for the customer that they have in that area at the time. So they accepted. So we engaged as consultants for a period of 3 months. And of course, we managed to turn the place around. I mean, sales went up really high and everything. And the place now is, if you go for lunch at the coffee shop right now, you know, there's a high chance you can't get a seat, you know, because there's so many people now. Obviously, the owners were so happy, so we were made co-owners late last year. So now we are managing the place with Rizlan, one of the founders at Oda, and Adeline now is the head chef there.
Well, we'll find out more what you've done to the coffee shop to turn it around. I guess it's something a lot of entrepreneurs would want to learn as well. We have Jimmy Lee and Adeline Sarim, co-owners of the coffee shop and also Yummalicious. This is A La Carte Tuesday on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Best for money, BFM 89.9.
Good morning. You're still listening to Open for Business. This is A La Carte Tuesday. We talk about food. And so today we have the owners, the co-owners of the coffee shop and also owners of Yummalicious, Adeline Sarim and Jimmy Lee. You initially came in as a consultant for the coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
And within 3 months, you turned around the place. What did you do?
Well, it was a lot of change, you know, because Yummalicious is a basically it's a home business, you know, to go into a restaurant business and then to meet up, finally working with a full crew, you know, with proper equipment and things like that. You know, it's quite a big experience. It's definitely a different concept, a different change. But when I went in, I saw that there was a lot of things that was underutilized. You know, we've got like good people that were not really properly trained. The good part about working by yourself in Yummalicious is that I had to do everything. Yes.
Good and bad.
Everything from, you know, from A to Z, you know, from creating the patties, making the sauce, cleaning up equipment, you know, and managing such a tight lunch service on your own and, you know, transferring that concept into a team concept, that was like a goldmine for me, because it's like, hey, this is what I really wanted. You know, I've got a full crew here. I've got a full set of kitchen here. It's being underutilized. Now what I need is I need a complete reformat.
Okay. You know? So you literally changed the entire concept of the place.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically.
But what else did you do? What else did you find? It was a problem initially and you've changed it.
Basically, it was, whether you like it or not, restaurants in Malaysia, they're not properly trained. We've got good people, you know, with good sets of skills, but it's not really managed in the right direction.
Okay.
Yeah, or doing things properly and things like that. It was just more to customize people's strength, yeah, and putting them where they are good at. And from there onwards, instead of like trying to squeeze something in, you just like let everything go in its own flow. So finally, people developed and they were inspired by what I was creating, what we were doing, and they saw results and they improved themselves. Mm-hmm. You know? It became a daily challenge.
Besides training then, what did you do to the restaurant?
Well, it came up in terms of products. There were like new products that we came up with. We wanted something familiar, but we wanted something different and new. So we came up with this concept of a fusionized modern-day kopitiam food. So you'll be eating something that's like peanut butter rendang sandwich.
Yes, kind you of brought thing. That over.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. And we have spicy noodle, our new age version of a Maggi goreng, but done in a much more healthier manner. Yeah, those are some of the materials that we're working with. We wanted a concept that is familiar, but at the same time, we didn't want to stray too far away.
What were they serving initially then?
Asian delights. I mean, Malaysian delights like nasi lemak, nasi kerabu, and noodles and stuff like that. But it goes back to what I told you before. It's all about building communities. We felt that at that time that we need to engage the communities around the coffee shop because it's a clustered place. Mm-hmm. It's Damansara Heights. It's a place whereby not many people want to go to because of parking problems, traffic problems, and there's a lot of density of students and everything like that. And there's a lot of food trucks and food stalls located all over the place. It's like
it's tough competition.
It's a huge competition. Yeah. So from day one, we told the coffee shop that in order to succeed, you need to give something more than what these people are offering. You can't compete with them in terms of pricing because these are street vendors. They can, because they don't have to worry about rent, they don't have to worry about salaries, so they can price themselves really cheap. I mean, in Damansara Heights, among the street vendors, you can get a decent packed rice with two side dishes for just 4 ringgit to 5 ringgit. So you can't compete with that. So in order to do something for the coffee shop, Adeline decided, okay, I'm going to come up with a menu that has food items that they don't have it in that area. And at the same time, we're also working on price points in the sense that we want to make it affordable to students as well, which is why we have spicy noodles, like which is a healthier version of Maggi goreng. And on my part, what I did was to strengthen up the social media platform and engage the communities around it. So one of the things that we did was like to offer 20% discount to students. So that really helped.
Yeah. So finding strategies, right, to attract them come in. What else did you do to engage with the community?
Mm. Basically, in terms of product development, things like that, it's not like something that you just pick out at random, mm-hmm. you know. You study the market. You study the market, you talk to customers, you see what they want and what they would engage themselves, you know. So, yeah, that's how we develop, you know, ourselves, the coffee shop, in that manner. Yeah.
We did a lot of market research. I mean, we spoke to students, we went to have a chat with them, asked them, what's your budget like, what you're looking for. Then we spoke to the professionals, the blue-collar workers, white-collar workers, you know, what they're looking for in terms of food and everything like that. So based upon the feedback, then we came up with a proper master plan, what we want to do. Because we only have 3 months under our consultancy.
Yeah.
So everything was compartmentalized for the next 3 months. What needs to be done? Month one, month two, month three. So obviously, month one, we did a lot of market research.
Yeah.
And Adeline did a lot of training for the kitchen crew. And the second month was developing all the new recipes and things like that. Yeah. And coming up with strategies in terms of pricing. And that's where our social media became more popular, more active and everything like that.
Yeah.
Before we came in, like for instance, Facebook alone, they had less than 100 likes. Now it's like 300 over Instagram, and now we're coming close to 500 followers. So these are all happening at the same time.
Okay. Yeah. Mm. And what are the challenges now that you're co-owners of the coffee shop, and I guess the plans are to grow this business.
Yeah.
But what sort of obstacles that you're facing at this point of time?
Yeah. I think our biggest problem right now is the fact that we're coming to a point whereby there's more demand than supply.
Yes.
We are struggling to cope with the customers coming in, which is a good problem.
Yeah, that is a good problem.
So it's a very happy problem. So that is a problem that we are facing. We are facing the issue whereby we're trying to cope with the number of customers coming in, the number of orders, and Adeline is trying to make sure the kitchen can cope with the orders coming through. I mean, just like 2 weeks ago, there came a point of time that we had too many customers. I had to turn them away because we were just overrun with orders, you know, and we had to tell customers, okay, we can come in and eat here, but your orders will probably take half an hour
to prepare. Yeah, because we run at a very tight crew, you know. We have very little people in the kitchen and things like that, you know.
What's your signature dishes?
Right now, right now, our popular dish is spicy noodles.
The number one?
Number one, yeah. Second one would be our nasi lemak.
Nasi lemak. Still, people would rather eat nasi lemak.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes. They won't run away from the familiars, you know? Mm. Yeah.
So what are your plans then to grow? I see that you're so passionate about the food. That you're probably ingrained into the operations. What's your bigger picture here?
For the coffee shop or Yummylicious?
Both.
All right. Okay, for Yummylicious, we intend to turn it into a franchise one day. That's what we're doing right now, taking steps towards the direction. Because we are not going to build Yummylicious into like many, many outlets, like what most shops are doing. Just one flagship should be enough, and the rest will be just franchises. That's what for Yummylicious. As for the coffee shop, I mean, what we're trying to do is to build some sort of like a brand identity for the restaurant. And the next stage will be, of course, like start introducing the food globally, I guess.
How do you do that? I don't think it's that simple to...
Well, there's a scheme called Malaysian Kitchen. It's initiated by the government, which allows restaurateurs who has an idea or concept for a restaurant to get a grant.
Okay.
So I'm currently advising my business partners, I mean the owners of the coffee shop, to actually look into it and see whether can we start introducing the coffee shop as a global brand. But at the same time, what we're doing right now is to strengthen whatever we have at the restaurant first before we move into the bigger picture.
Exciting times ahead. Yes. Well, I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much,
Angeline.
Thank you so much for your time. I've been speaking to Adeline Sarim and Jimmy Lee, co-owners of the Kopi Shop and founders of Yummylicious. Thank you for listening. This is A La Carte Tuesday on Open for Business. I'm Angeline Tay, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.